So it's my turn now, I guess. It's come to be my lot, this portion of scripture here. And I've been thinking about this quite a bit and meditating on it. And it really has been something for me to understand. And it's been a difficult passage, no doubt, to speak on or to meditate or to study. The chapter of Hebrews 6 isn't the one that I would have been my first choice, definitely not. There's other portions which I have spoken on and have studied before, and this one I haven't as much. But now, having gone through it, I think it is very important, since it is in the book of Hebrews, and where it stands in its context, it's very important to know about this, because many people have made this chapter, at least the earlier part of the chapter of Hebrews 6, and it has unsettled many souls, and it has brought about the doctrine of falling away doctrine, and many people would use this as a doctrine in which they would explain away the security of the believer in Christ. So it is my desire to speak of this, and to, with the Lord's help, to speak accurately of this in its context, of where it's placed. Latter part of chapter 5 and till chapter 6 at the end, he had just spoken of in verse 10 of chapter 5. I'll go back to chapter 5 and I will read it. Let's, for the sake of time, let's read it right now, and then I'll make comments afterwards. So chapter 5, Hebrews 6, chapter 5 of Hebrews, and verse 11. We start speaking of verse 11. Reading, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for a time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to them, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. In verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your late work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience endure and inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he has patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and the oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation or comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So that'll be the reading of this portion today. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, his precious word. I'll just give a quick overview of chapter 6. I'll go back to chapter 5, where the break was, where Brother Mark ended last time. And I know our brother Ian has spoken on from verse 13 to 20 there a little bit ago, a few months ago, and it was thoroughly enjoyed. So I don't know if I'll have to speak on that, but that is the portion that is probably my favorite portion of most of all of Hebrews, is from 13 to the end. But there's many other things in Hebrews that are so enjoyable to speak on, and the deep things, the strong meat that it speaks about here. But verse 10 of chapter 5, it ends there with Melchizedek, speaking of those are deep things that the writer has just been spoken of in Melchizedek, in the things that Brother Mark has spoken of last week. And then it again starts up with Melchizedek at the end of chapter 6. So it continues with the deep things of God, those strong meat, many things that are to be uttered, it speaks about there. But in between, it's almost like a parenthesis where he now interjects and brings in there and exhorts them afresh to those who were amongst the company and those who were, he's been speaking of deep things. And before it continues, he almost addresses them. Before it continues on Melchizedek, he addresses them and he speaks of how they're dull of hearing. This is an interesting portion. For all these 24 verses, he speaks he exhorts them and brings them back to another warning passage there in the middle of it. The tendency was to go back to Judaism. And that's why the book of Hebrews, I know I haven't spoken on it here in Winnipeg, but I've enjoyed many things in the book of Hebrews. I've been thinking of how it is a chapter of faith. It is a book of faith. Chapter 3 and 4, you can see how Brother Richard covered it and Brother Jody, how it speaks of by faith, not being mixed with faith, the warnings, how they were going back, willing to go back, wanting to go back to things that would be of the senses, the things that they had known, the observances, the sacrifices, the all the things that they had been grown up with, in the Mosaic covenant and the tabernacle and everything that it applies to the senses. And now all of that has been taken away and it's all by faith now. So you can see these believers had a tendency, at least those who weren't grounded in the truth of Christ, had a tendency to go back. And now he's proving to them that it has always been, that he's showing to them the shadows and the types of how all the old economy, everything that has been spoken about, and that they have been doing the rituals, all those things that God ordained, was given by God, was all a pattern and shadow and example of heavenly things. And it finds its ultimate fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything has found its fulfillment in Christ, in the person, whether it's the tabernacle, the priesthood, the offerings, in everything, the priest himself, are all pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his defined fulfillment in him. All these things were shadows, and they were not the image. They were not the image of the very things, which is Christ. He is the fullness of it all. So he is exhorting them that now they think all they have is faith. And then he is showing them how, and he goes on to chapter 11 later on and shares with them how it's always been by faith. And he goes back to Abraham and to Moses, and they have all those prophets of old, the people of the old economy, all lived by faith. It was by faith that they did all these things. So they are not unique in this, that it is by faith, but it's in the faith of the person of Christ. So now from verse, I'll just go a quick outline here. Hebrews 5, verse 11 to 14, it speaks about, and until Hebrews 6:1-3, it speaks about immaturity of those Christians who should have been a far further along in the Christian walk than they were, but now they have need of milk, needed that they be taught again by someone else. They're babes in their knowledge of they were supposed to be going on to mature, but now they're going back to Judaism, back to the things that they have left before. In chapter 10, it speaks about how they left those things. They joyfully left the spoiling of the goods. They joyfully left it all. And here now they're going back, a tendency of going back. So they become babes, going back to elementary things. And it speaks about their immaturity. And then because it speaks about, let us go on unto maturity, unto perfection. So that is from chapter 5, verse 11 to the end, to chapter 6, from 1 to 3, it speaks about their immaturity. But then the second portion, it's be from Hebrews 6, 4 to 8. I'll break it up in this way. From 4 to 8, it speaks about apostasy, a potential apostasy of what is of those. It speaks of the falling away and if they shall fall away. And this falling away is going back to Judaism in this context. It's going back from what they have known to be true. They have known the facts. They have known the things. They've been under the influence of Christ and of the truth of the new covenant and all these things. But now they're going back, falling away. And this is a deliberate going back. And I'll speak more about this when I get to that. But then, so the first portion is immaturity. The second one is apostasy. And the third one is from Hebrews 6, 9 to 12. I just broke it up in this way. He is now speaking to the Christians, the believers in that company, and speaking of certainty, that he is persuaded of better things of them, things that accompany salvation, exhortation. He exhorts them to go on. And then the last portion is the biggest portion, is from 13 to 20. He speaks of the security of all that they have in Christ. It speaks of things that are all based on God, all based on God's word and his promises. Things that are sure and steadfast. So we can see how chapter 5 ends with Melchizedek, and then it continues with Melchizedek in chapter 7. So, and in between chapter 6, he is speaking to them and exhorting them afresh and warning them and helping them onward to maturity. So we will break into verse 11 of chapter 5. Verse 11, let's see, look at my time here. I got 15 minutes, and we'll see how far we get with this. It speaks of, in verse 11, it says, of whom we have many things to say, and things that are hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So now he has just been speaking of, when our brother Mark has ended, of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the types of the truth, the reality of Christ is the one who, after a different order, the one that was called of God, as Aaron was called, did not take it upon himself. He's speaking of Melchizedek specifically, of whom. That's, I believe, it speaks of whom is Melchizedek and Christ the fulfillment. He is the one after the order of Melchizedek, the one that lives after the power of endless life. And so the Melchizedek is the not the type. Melchizedek is the type, but Christ is the reality. And he is the one that he's now bringing in of the Lord Jesus Christ, order of Melchizedek. And he has been speaking of him all of chapter 5. And but then he says of whom he has many things to say. And then you can see in chapter 7, he is speaking afresh again of those many things of Melchizedek in Christ. And he continues as it were just paused and then continued with Melchizedek. And speaking of the priestly order of Melchizedek. And then he's speaking of the Aaronic priesthood inferior to Christ's priesthood later on in chapter 7, which Brother Jamie will cover. But then here he speaks of whom we have many things to say. So these are the deep things that he is speaking about of Melchizedek, which is different than the Aaronic line, the Levitical line. And he is the one that he is, but they are dull of hearing, seeing that Yaradal is here and he has things that are hard to be uttered, not for him, not for the writer, because the writer knows what he is going to speak about. But for those who are listening, they were dull of hearing. They're, and they're the same word they're dull of hearing is used twice. It is also used in chapter 6, verse 12, that ye be not slothful. So it's kind of the idea of lazy and sluggish in hearing. So even in earlier chapters, he spoke about take earnest heed to things that you have heard, to take it serious, to listen and to go on. So here he speaks of their dull of hearing. And then he speaks about for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need, I want to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Since they have been saved till now, time had elapsed and they have not grown. And we think of myself and for us, and I just think of my life. I look back to my years that I've been saved. It's been 13 years, and there's a time that has elapsed. And just thinking, as time goes on, have I grown? Have I grown in Christ? Have I grown in my knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do I need to be taught again the things, first principles of the oracles of God? And I know this is not the primary context, because it's speaking of Jewish people here who are going back to Judaism. The first principles there, which I will cover, which speaks mostly of the Old Testament principles that he is talking about. But then here he says, and are become such as have need of milk. And I'm not going to go into too much depth here. I'll try and just mention, go through it verse by verse and kind of bring out some things that I've appreciated. It says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And for everyone that uses milk, or basically just uses milk, is unskillful in a word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So need of milk would speak of the elementary principles. We think there of chapter 6, verse 1, it speaks of the principles, the principles, the foundation, elementary discussion. And think of how it speaks of the first principles. Those who are the first principles are the, going back to the elementary principles are the Old Testament Judaism. And it says, your need of milk. And he says, but strong meat, which is Melchizedek priesthood, speaks of what he has just been speaking about, Christ's priesthood. These are deep things. So the subject of typology in the Old Testament, things of the Old Testament speaks of types of Christ and seeing it as Christ and be able to dig into those deep things, the strong meat that he has just been doing, bringing the Old Testament types, that is on the person of Christ and on his work. That is strong meat. Those are things that are deep. The types, the typology, and its reality in Christ, and how it's not only the shadow, we're back to the shadows, but to actual what it speaks about. The shadows speak about the image, the very person of Christ. He is the fulfillment of all of those. Then that is strong meat, is coming to maturity of Christ. Using milk, only using milk, is the idea of infants. Infants are those that need milk. Now think of using milk. We think of how God desires us to grow as Christians. We think of when we see children and they don't grow, and think of something is wrong. Something that it right away would be alarmed if we look at someone that would be a child that would not drink or not eat, and what they would eat is just milk, and they would grow up to be 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they wouldn't be able to eat strong meat. There's something a little bit wrong with the development, you would think. That is how God expects us as Christians to grow. And we think of how it is important. I'm just linking a verse with Ephesians 4 of growing as well. Speaking there of teachers and pastors and shepherds and teachers and of the edifying of the body of Christ, how God has given to the body of Christ. And those there, it speaks of till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children. So God doesn't desire that we be children when it comes to to understanding, when it comes to truth, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up, says to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So God desires that we grow. God desires that we as Christians, we think of being babes. There's some things of being babes, which is a good thing. When it comes to malice, it says there in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, in malice, be children, be babes when it comes to malice, but in understanding, be men. So God wants us to be men when it comes to understanding, to understand the deep things that God has given to us, but they all found in his word. But then he also speaks of a good thing when it comes to our desire. When you think of desire, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby in Peter. So it's a good thing to be a babe in that sense. When it comes to the desiring the milk, the sincere word, that we may grow thereby. So in relation to desire, it is good to be a babe, to have that desire of a babe when it comes to the word. But to come on to maturity, God wants us to come to maturity. So when we think of immature, and I got this from Robert Thompson, spoke on this once, when it speaks of a few other portions of immaturity. And that's what I'm basically going to cover today, is the immaturity of us and going on to maturity. But I want to speak in its context, what it's actually talking about as well. But I want to apply these things here. You think of Corinthians and how Robert Thompson said, immaturity in morality. So when it comes to morals, the things of they were immature in those areas. Can you hear me? Okay. So sorry about this. Maybe I was just cut off. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say this, but it says there in Corinthians, it speaks about it, they were babes in morality. But then in Galatians, they were immature in doctrine, and they were going back to from faith, grace, back to works, from faith back to works. And Paul even says, you did run well. Who did hinder you? They were going back to in a doctrine of faith and works, living by faith. They went back to living under law keeping. In Galatians 4:19, he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, till Christ be formed in you. So he's travailing again in birth. They're like babes till Christ is formed in them. So that is, they were immature in doctrine when it comes to Galatians. They went back to the weak and beggarly elements, wherein they desired to be under bondage. And then and many times it speaks there, are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? He couldn't believe it. But then here in Hebrews, he is speaking of dispensations. They were immature in dispensationalism. How the shadows and the types, that was in the old economy. That was a different dispensation in which God, they were ordained of God. They all spoke of Christ. And when the fullness came, when Christ came and he is the fullness, there's no more need to go back to the weak beggarly elements, or sorry, back to the old economy, to the sacrifice, to the temple, and we think of at the time it was still going on. In chapter 8, it speaks of there how if you were a priest on earth, Christ, he is in heaven, Melchizedek. But if you were a priest on earth, since they are priests, it says presently, that are offering gifts and sacrifices in the tabernacle, in the temple. So he is, at the presently there's a tendency to go back to those things. But now they have a man in heaven, and they have one that is the fulfillment of all of these things. And we think of, so dispensationalism, God is, you think of different portions of scripture, it speaks of how, even here, it speaks of a new and living way. And it speaks thereof in 2 Corinthians 3, it speaks of how that which is old is abolished. And it speaks of how it's done away. It vanishes away. And it speaks of there in the Lord Jesus, speaks there in the Gospels. He speaks of wineskins, of how he speaks of new wine must be put into new bottles. It is a new, altogether new. And Paul brings it out in Galatians. He says, it is not circumcision nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, altogether something new, new creation. And so it's like a fuller, complete fullness. It is not compatible with the old, because there's so much, the counterpart of the New Testament Christ in its fulfillment is so much greater. And that's what he's trying to bring those believers to. But they're going back, they're designed to go back. So the shadow, they had a substance and they want to go back to the shadow, basically. So strong meat, he says, but strong meat belonging to them that who had by reason of use, by constant practice, that have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I'll just take maybe a couple of minutes here, and then I'll be trying to wrap it up, because I see my time is up. It's a little bit unfortunate. But anyways, both good and evil, because of their constant practice. And that's why I'm going to have to leave this with us before even going into this very context of chapter 6. I want to start chapter 6 anyways. It's my chapter. So I've been chapter 5. Finish off for Brother Mark. So this is Mark's week. But anyways, both good and evil. He says they're able to desire both good and evil, discern both good and evil in world, and good and evil, discerning it in out in the world as they walk, and in deportment. I got this from some other commentary. In deportment, there as you walk, as you're discerning the scriptures, you're going to be changed. You're going to be able to discern good and evil when it comes to the world, when it comes to our deportment, our walk, things around us, and it comes to doctrine. We'll be able to discern both good and evil in both. So full age, mature Christians will discern between the type, and he's speaking there, between the type and the real. And you will discern between the shadow and the substance. You'll be able to see the difference. These children here, these babes, they did not yet discern what is the truth, the reality. They didn't grasp yet what they had in Christ, all that they had in Christ. So I know my time is up, but chapter 6 is where I really wanted to get into. This is just, I just want to actually make a few brief comments, but I guess today was an overview a little bit and an outline. But chapter 6, hopefully next week will cover a lot more and actual in its context, speak of what is this talking about? What is the falling away here talking about? What is the laying again the foundation of repentance, of dead works, and of faith towards God, and of doctrine, of baptisms, and of laying on of hands? Is this Christian? Is this Christian truth, Christianity, or is this Judaism? We'll have to see what is spoken of here in these things, and we'll see. I believe it's Judaism, and if you want to check this week, what you think, you can check out for yourself. But I will, Lord willing, next week we'll go into these actual verses and speak of them. So I know it's been very scattered in some ways, but may the Lord help us to go on to maturity, even in its context here, going on to maturity is leaving Judaism in its context and going on to Christ in all of its perfection, all in a mature, that's what the maturity is talking about. They're onto perfection, onto Christ. So may the Lord bless to us the things that have been said, and may we go on to strong meat even this week, to learn more of Christ and of all that we have in him. And there's so much to know. There's so much to learn of him, the blessed one. So I'll just close in prayer, and we'll conclude for the morning.